Radio Prague News.
Police President Petr Lessy will retain his position after reaching an organizational agreement with Interior Minister Jan Kubice. Culture Minister Jiří Besser says he will resign if corruption evidence emerges. And the government's Economic Advisory Board, NERV, and the Financial Ministry are considering measures which will help the Czech Republic overcome economic difficulties in Europe. Police President Petr Lessy will retain his position after reaching an organizational agreement with Interior Minister Jan Kubice. Mr. Kubice said Monday that communication between the two had improved and that he appreciated the positive approach that the police president took in his proposal for personnel changes at the police presidium. The new proposal entails primarily cutting one deputy and 100 other posts at the presidium, which Mr. Lessy had previously feared could bring instability. The Interior Minister had previously been calling for Mr. Lessy to step down due to disagreements over the institution's reorganization. Culture Minister Jiří Besser has denied allegations of corruption and says he will resign if incriminating evidence emerges. Mr. Besser admitted on Friday that he had neglected to claim part ownership in a U.S.-based company and property in Florida worth $230,000 in his property statement, and said it was an oversight on his part. Head of the Top 09 parliamentary club, Petr Gazdík, said he was content with the evidence the culture minister had provided in his defense, but objected to his connection to another co-owner in the firm, Pavel Hrach, who was recently convicted of corruption. Mr. Besser has said the company never undertook any business activity and generated no profit, but he says he is prepared to take legal responsibility for his mistake. The government's Economic Advisory Board, NERV, and the Finance Ministry are considering measures which could help the Czech Republic overcome economic difficulties in Europe, Monday's Hospodářské noviny reports. Amongst other things, they include the enactment of balanced budgets, introducing a flat VAT rate of up to 20%, and shortening the working week for companies. According to the paper, the Council has prepared three scenarios, including one for the eventuality of the collapse of the Eurozone. The Finance Ministry is going to submit its detailed plans in January 2012. The new Council at Prague City Hall has begun working on its policy statement, which covers its plans for the next 8 years. Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda said it was important that the policy plans go beyond the current term of office in light of the current economic situation. Individual councillors have begun offering the mayor proposals for sectors entrusted them, foremost among those being construction adaptations, investments, and the operation of the city amid the current economic climate. Some of the new councillors have indicated transportation priorities, such as the completion of Metro Line A and the Blanka Tunnel Complex, as well as anti-corruption and fiscal responsibility measures. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be mostly cloudy, with daytime highs of around 5 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. The spirit of the old Czechoslovak Federation is being revived as 29 Czech military doctors head to Slovakia to cover for their striking colleagues over the border. More in a moment. And in the sport, there's an eastern tinge to the Czech Republic's hopes as they are drawn in Group A at Euro 2012. More on that soon. And in one-on-one, Ian Willoughby speaks to the jazz guitarist Rudy Linka, and there'll be another chance to learn Czech through music in Soundcheck. Please stay tuned to Radio Prague. But first, since Saturday, a group of Czech military doctors have been helping out in hospitals in neighbouring Slovakia, where hundreds of doctors have walked out over low wages. Last Wednesday, the resignations of 1,200 doctors from an overall pool of 7,000 came into effect, leaving four of the country's hospitals in critical condition and another 16 in jeopardy. Even though the Slovak government has now agreed to meet the doctors' demands, the Czech team is staying on until conditions return to normal. Pavla Horáková has more.
Only hours after the Slovak Prime Minister Iveta Radičová and the Czech Health Minister Leoš Heger signed a bilateral agreement, two buses carrying Czech military specialists from Prague, Pilsen and Hradec Králové arrived in the Slovak capital Bratislava on Saturday. 12 of those deployed in Bratislava went straight on a night shift in the city's largest hospital.
I hope they will do good work here, and I also hope that their work won't be needed for too long.
The Czech health minister Leoš Heger commented on what he called humanitarian aid. That expression was dismissed by the head of the Slovak Doctors' Labour Union, Marian Kolar. He even compared the arrival of Czech doctors to the 1968 occupation of Czechoslovakia by Soviet troops. Otherwise, the labour unions described the protest as successful, having negotiated a hike in salaries. The starting salary of a fresh graduate should reach €950, while experienced doctors should earn around €1,700 a month. Even though the labour dispute has now been settled, things are far from normal. The 1,200 doctors who had resigned are expected to sign their new contracts on Monday or Tuesday, but labour unions advise them to consult their lawyers first, which might slow down their return. Therefore, it is not yet clear how long the Czech military doctors sent after no Czech civilian doctor responded to the Slovak government's appeal for help will be needed. Czech Defence Ministry spokesman Jan Pejšek.
At the moment, our doctor's mandate has been approved until the end of the month. It is quite possible that they will return earlier. All depends on the needs of the Slovak side.
No one knows whether the Czech specialists will be home for Christmas. As Czech television reported, if the 29 doctors stay for a month, it will cost the Defence Ministry €2.5 million.
Pavla Horáková there on the Czech doctors covering for their colleagues in Slovakia. Time to move on Radio Prague, though, to the sport now. And with news of the Euro 2012 draw and a roundup of the rest of the sport, here is Jan Wellinger.
Thank you, Peter. And as you said rightly, the big news, of course, was the UEFA draw last Friday for the European Football Championships in Poland and Ukraine. And arguably, they couldn't have gone better for the Czech national squad. The team, captained by midfielder Tomáš Rosický, next year will face Russia, the co-hosts Poland, and also Greece, and that's in Group A. What's more, the Czechs will play all three of their group matches at just one location. That's in Wrocław, Poland, only around 200 kilometers away from the Czech border, which is obviously great news for Czech fans. They won't have very far to travel. Of course, of the four groups, Group A is widely being considered the easiest. Each team is capable of reaching the next stage. And after Friday's draw in Kiev, here's what the Czech team coach Michal Bílek had to say.
We have to be happy with the draw. The other groups are comparatively tougher. It's good that we'll be playing at only one location, so we won't have to travel and we'll live somewhere nearby. As for our chances, I've always said that it is our goal to advance from the group, and the draw doesn't change that. What matters now is what happens on the pitch. I do think it will be an evenly matched group.
And coach Bílek's favorable view was echoed by many of the players themselves. All caution that while anything can happen, the draw was a pretty good one.
Well, just quickly though, Jan, reflecting on this draw, on the face of it, not too difficult, and the travel not so bad.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about it, the Czechs' opening game is against Russia. Now, of course, anything can happen there. Russia can be a tough team to play. But in the past, the one time they have faced each other, which was at Euro 96, it did end in a 3-3 draw. That was an important game. So, you know, there's no saying that the Czechs can't do it again.
Of course, and the big thing, a chance to get one over, revenge on the Greeks.
Absolutely. If anybody who remembers 2004, the semifinal in Portugal, Greece knocked out the Czech Republic famously with a silver goal, I think after the first extra time period, and that knocked the Czechs out, so it'll be a chance for the Czech team to get one back.
Okay.
Moving on, other news in football from the domestic league. Sparta won their final match of the autumn half of the season at the weekend. They did that by defeating Jablonec 4-2. Despite the win, big changes are in store at the club. The general manager, Josef Kovanec, the former national squad coach, He's on his way out, and he's to be replaced by Jaroslav Hřebík, and there may be further changes as well. The good news is the team remains atop the standings with 40 points. That's 6 ahead of Liberec, who are also victorious in the last round, defeating Slavia 3-1. And Plzeň, the defending champions, remain third with 30 points. They defeated Bohemians 1905 decisively by a score of 4-1. Ostrava, Olomouc, and Viktoria Žižkov round out the bottom of the league standings. If we go to hockey now, Sparta, undefeated in 10 games, lost to Kladno by a score of 3-1 on Sunday. Liberec, however, were unable to capitalize. They were downed in a lopsided match against Pardubice. They lost 5-1 and slipped to third place. Třinec defeated Kometa by the same score. Plzeň lost to Vítkovice 2-1 in extra time. Those are just a few of the scores there. And finally, we end with downhill skiing, and Ondřej Bank was left shaking his head after a poor result in his first race of the season, the FIS World Cup Super-G at Beaver Creek, Colorado. He finished outside the top 30, actually a lowly 46th. The racer blamed himself for mistakes, and he remains unsure whether to push ahead with the season, this because he suffered an unknown illness in the summer that sidelined him or left him in hospital for weeks. He lost 15 kilos and only resumed training not so long ago. So we hope him better health and possibly a good season should he continue.
Indeed, I've actually interviewed him once, and he's a thoroughly nice guy, so wish him well.
Yeah. Okay.
That's Thank you, Ian. Jan Wellinger there with a roundup of the sport. Moving on here on Radio Prague, and it's another chance to hear Ian Willoughby speak to the Prague-born jazz guitarist Rudy Linka.
This is Stephanie's New Waltz by the world-renowned Prague-born jazz guitar player Rudy Linka. After moving to Sweden as a young man, he later left for the US and has been living in New York for nearly a quarter of a century. In recent years, however, Rudy Linka has been home in the Czech Republic every summer, organizing the Bohemia Jazz Fest, a great free event which brings world-class jazz musicians to a number of Czech towns and cities. We met at Café Slavia, one of the haunts of his teenage years.
I started to play violin when I was 6, and my family, everybody in my family played instrument. It was either piano or violin, and I got in touch with the guitar when I was 13. And that was when I was actually at the camp, and there was a guy who played really, really good, and he was really a professional player, and he somehow just happened to be there, and I fell in love with the instrument, and also the guy was so friendly and so much fun to be with, and from that moment I kind of started to listen to Beatles and try to play those songs, and very early on I actually got into jazz because I met really good friends who were just crazy about jazz, and I started with Miles Davis, and I basically jump over this whole thing about rock and roll, and so.
Is there a big tradition of jazz here? I know the generation of people like Shvoretsky, who are older than you, they were into jazz, but from your generation, was there a big tradition of jazz in this country?
You know, I think so. I think the communists, because, I mean, Shvoretsky, he grew up, you know, during the Nazis, and the Nazis, the jazz was totally forbidden. I mean, it was these pamphlets were saying that, you know, the solo cannot have, you know, more than 3 swing notes, you know, and, you know, all these crazy things. And I think the communists kind of, for obvious reasons, that they really didn't encourage jazz at all. And I think that was a big attraction to it through, you know, intellectual people and I remember people like Karel Velebný, who was really, you know, great mentor to me and a great teacher, and around him was always a lot of young people, but also American Embassy. They had a culture center. You just walked in, they had all the magazines, they had all the LPs, and you could borrow 3 LPs at a time, and you had them for a week. After you returned them, and you taped them home at the tape recorder, you returned them, you pick another ones. And I had really kind of good jazz collection through the American Embassy in the 70s.
In, I guess, about 79, 80, you, at the age of 19 or 20, moved to Sweden. Why Sweden?
First, I didn't know nothing about Sweden. And I was already studying German for 9 years, so I knew that I don't speak German. And it's also, you know, the historical thing about Czech Republic and Germany and Austria. I mean, it was always a lot of tensions. But there was never any tensions about with Sweden. And Sweden always had a great jazz. And also, a very good friend of mine just stayed in Stockholm. And he was a saxophone player who went to Karvelovny also. So I knew that I have friends somewhere who I can stay with. So I went to Sweden.
And later you went to America. What was it about America? Was it a work thing that you knew you had to go to the States to get somewhere?
You know, I was in Sweden for 5 years, and I also left Czech Republic because I wanted to study jazz. And somehow I was naively, you know, thinking that once you cross the line, you know, for the Iron Curtain, that you would immediately, there would be a lot of jazz schools all over the place. But that was not the case in the 70s and early 80s. And so I came to Stockholm, and there basically I started to study classical music again, which I was doing even here at the Prague Conservatory. And I start to understand that if you want to do jazz and if you want to really learn it, you have to go to the United States because these guys played so much better. I mean, it's just like even in Sweden, I mean, when these guys showed up, I mean, they were just like, I mean, on totally different level than the Swedish guys. And the Swedish guys were very good. And so I, after 5 years, I got a scholarship to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And I went there for a year. And after that, I got another scholarship to New School in New York. And I studied there for 2 years. And after that, I basically stayed in the United States.
I understand also that a meeting with, or you getting to know, the great guitar player John Scofield was a big thing in your life and career.
I was so lucky that I studied with some really amazing guys. John was one of them. Jim Hall was another guy. And John Abercrombie was another guy. I mean, these guys were just really, really nice to me. And when I met John for the first time, I mean, he came to Berklee. He was doing a clinic. And I, you know, after that, I went, you know, and asked him if he could give me some private lessons. And he said, you know, when you are in New York, you know, give me a call. And that was just when he left Miles Davis. And he was not so busy with his own band. And so I was so lucky that I had like 20 lessons with him in his basement.
Also, jumping forward in time, you guys somehow ended up busking on Charles Bridge. That's two of the greatest jazz guitar players playing for free on Charles Bridge.
That was really funny because we went on vacation to Prague. That was, I think it was 2000 or 2001. And John's wife, she is, she bought a book about Prague and she was studying the book. And in the book was that all the musicians are playing at Charles Bridge, you know, and it's just like, this is the thing to do. And she said to us before we left, she said, guys, do you know what you do? You take two guitars and you play at Charles Bridge and let's see how much money you make. And for that money, we will go and have a dinner. And we cannot spend one dime more than what you made. So we had our, you know, two acoustic guitars and we went to Charles Bridge and we sat down right in the middle. And they took out these guitars and started to play. And the moment we started to play, so it was a little crowd around us because it was people who were watching us and thinking like, no, this is not happening. These guys look like somebody. But also immediately, these two police officers showed up and started to ask, you know, if we have the permit to do that, you know. And of course we didn't. And I was pretending that I don't speak Czech, and John was totally honest saying I don't speak Czech. Of course they didn't speak English, and it was really, they just wanted to take us to the police station. And luckily enough, it was a TV, Czech TV, walking by because they were filming something on the other side. So they were walking by, and they started to film this. And this Czech reporter said to these police, and these guys are really famous. And this whole thing was caught on TV, on the tape, and they showed it on the main news the same day. And it was really funny. And so what happened is that the police said, okay, you can play one song. So we played one song. We didn't make any money because we didn't have the permit. And we almost got arrested. But, it was one of the most bizarre periods in my life, I think.
And you had no dinner that day either,
right? Yeah, we had no dinner, of course, you know, but, yeah.
Tell us also, a few years ago, you set up the Bohemia Jazz Fest, which is a touring jazz festival. You play in 6 or 7 Czech cities and towns every summer. How did that come about?
Well, you know, it started 6 years ago when I bought a house close to Prachatice, which is a tiny little town in southern Bohemia, beautiful town. It's on the border with Germany. And I really fell in love with that little farmhouse and started to renovate this. And I renovated just when I was here in Czech Republic. It was the first time in a long time when I suddenly came and spent 2 months here. And these 2 months, it was amazing for me because in some way I kind of returned home without returning home. But these 2 months really opened my eyes because I realized that, you know, people are so nice, the food is great, the nature is unbelievable, but the music which they play on the radio, it's terrible. I mean, it's just I couldn't find a station, you know, and it's just like, and suddenly I realized that I'm so lucky because I know the guys who can really make some good music, and I feel like, wow, it would be so great to have these guys to play in this amazing environment of these beautiful towns.
You don't have any trouble persuading world-renowned musicians to come and play in a little town like Prachatice?
You know, this is really funny because it's always helped to know the guys, you know, so it's kind of, okay, let's how do we do this, you know, and I can promise them, okay, it's just, so the pay is terrible, but let's do a massage in, a little, you know, some other town, let's do this, let's do that, and, you know, so the guys went for it. There are also some people who were extremely skeptical. I remember last year we had Tuck and Patty. I don't know if you know these guys from, they are from California. Really, he plays guitar, she sings. Tack Andrew is amazingly good guitar player, really virtuoso solo, you know, jazz guitar player. And so they were coming to Prachatice to play in Prachatice. And I remember the contract was, okay, we don't want to come with our own car because we are not really sure that we will have the car, you know, after the night, you know. And they were so afraid. So they booked themselves to Linz. They were staying in a hotel in Linz. And we would just come and pick them up and we would drive them, you know, for the gig. And after, we would drive them back and they would have a dinner in Linz, you know, because they wanted their shrimp cocktail, you know, and vegetarian things. So we picked them up, drove them to Prachatice. In Prachatice was this amazing crowd of 4,000 people standing, you know, waiting for them. The concert was totally amazing. They stayed in the hotel in Prachatice, which was like, you know, 2 stars hotel. In the contract they had, the hotel has to be deluxe, 5-star boutique hotel. Have they even a boutique? And they stayed in this little dive in Prachatice because they just had so much fun. So they couldn't really leave immediately. And I just felt like, well, even that is great that the festival works the other way also. It's almost like, you know, these two sides are discovering themselves. And I'm for sure that Tuck and Patty, after they left, so they are, you know, telling many friends all over how much fun it was, this tiny little town in Prachatice. And they actually will play in Prague in the fall because it was such a big success. And now they are just like, Czech Republic is the place to go.
Music of Rudy Linker playing us out of One on One this week. It was presented by Ian Willoughby. You're tuned to Radio Prague and staying with music. It's another chance to learn Czech through music. Yes, it's Soundcheck, and this week it is with Pavla Horáková.
Listening to Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn Czech idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a song from the 1960s called Jezdím bez nehod, or I Drive Without Accidents, sung by the pop star of the day, Milan Chladil. Today's first featured phrase is cestou necestou.
Tak já pádí, cestou necestou, pět v dejvicí.
The singer is boasting about being a fast and safe driver. He can be in Prague at one moment and an hour later in Brno, some 250 kilometers away. The phrase cestou necestou, literally road or no road, refers to traveling on difficult roads with lots of obstacles. The word cesta means road. No such word as necesta exists on its own, except for this idiom. Milan Chladil sings that he travels on difficult roads and says it is not by chance that he's never involved in an accident. He uses two words that are very similar, náhoda and nehoda. Listen to the chorus once again, and after that we'll be talking about those two words.
Není náhodou, že se nesetkám s nehodou.
Milan Chladil sings that není náhodou, že se nesetkám s nehodou. It is no chance, it is not by accident, that I never encounter a traffic accident. While in English the word accident has a double meaning, in Czech there are two words for the two concepts, yet they are very similar. Náhoda is an accident, as in a chance, a coincidence, whereas nehoda is an accident in the negative sense, an unfortunate occurrence. A 1980s Czech road safety slogan said, Nehoda není náhoda. A traffic accident is no accident. Let's now listen to the very beginning of the song. This song seems to be packed with idioms. At the very beginning, Milan Chladil says he's been driving for 2 years without an accident and adds, S větrem se honím o závod, which translates as I'm racing with the wind. A more usual form of the idiom is S větrem o závod, racing with the wind, and can be loosely translated as hell for leather. Today we have learned three phrases, cestou necestou, the slogan nehoda není náhoda, and s větrem o závod. Don't forget that you can practice them on our website, www.radio.cz/English, where you'll find this episode in sound and text. Thanks for listening and drive safely.
Tak já pádí,
on pádí,
cestou necestou,
ty Stěří,
pět v Dejvicí, Brně před šestou, však jak říkám, není náhodou, že se nesetkám s nehodou. Bez nehod jezdit dovedu, tak vedu stroj svůj kupředu, vždy stejnou rychlostí a bez starostí, jen díky svému mopedu.
And that's it from us here on Radio Prague for today. Please do wrap up warm if you're here in Prague. It's a little bit cold outside. From myself, Peter Smith, until next time, bye-bye.